What I'd like to do this morning then is to give in this first session an overview of what I think's, you know, at the heart of what Beatrice is teaching us. And then in the second session, I'll look particularly at what she says about neo-feminine consciousness, which again I think is so incredibly insightful. Beatrice is quite an amazing woman. And as Madeline so generously said, thank you, Madeline, for those beautiful words. I began really, my whole formation is, or the theology that really grounds me is Julian of Norwich, the theology in her showings, and her whole sense of oneing, that we're one with God and that we're in this delightful, ever-evolving oneing and becoming more and more and more one with God. And then Beatrice really was instrumental for me, I think, Beatrice and Ilia Delio, in then being able to connect all of that beautiful wisdom that I discovered in Julian with an ongoing evolutionary consciousness. And that's certainly where I feel drawn to at the moment, to really try, you know, with us in communion, in community, to enable us to evolve in that contemplation, in that contemplatio, in the oneing. And that it's a, you know, beautiful, joyful, delightful thing to be doing. And that I think we've got so much light and so much joy to give our world, especially at the moment where we're in such crisis and where so many people are in so much pain. That it's right in the depths of the midst of our vulnerability that we discover this love. So the life and vision of Beatrice Brutto, awakening a neo-feminine consciousness for our time. So I think what Beatrice is really inviting us to is to really integrate and embrace the divine feminine. Not in a way, in any way that opposes the masculine, but in the sense of oneing. That the masculine and the feminine are beautifully and exquisitely united in the center of our heart, in the Christ, in the Trinity. And so we move well beyond all of the dualisms that the sort of dualistic consciousness that we've been, many of us have been raised in or were raised in, not in now, thank God. But we want to be able to enable that oneing consciousness to continue to evolve. So for Beatrice, everything that she says is about love, and it's about agape love. And so she's very, very heart-centered. She takes us deeply, deeply, deeply into our heart, into our heart center, into the absolute pure point of oneness, where we are one with God in the Trinity. And she invites us to really become aware of the heart consciousness that emerges from that contemplation. And here we have a lovely picture of her with her beautiful husband, James Somerville. And she was quite an elegant woman, wasn't she? And very, very, very insightful. She has that beautiful background of Vedanta, and she did her PhD on the writings of Aurobindo, which I think gives a lot of beautiful depth to the things she's saying too. She's also got studied in mathematics, and obviously when you read her books like God's Ecstasy, you can see that she has a very fine grasp of science. And of course she's totally immersed in the writings of Tyard and really many, many of the mystics. But she's developed her own very beautiful theology that I'd like to explore some more with you today. Her husband was a Jesuit, James Somerville, and at some time Beatrice was at Fordham University, as he was, which I always find interesting because I went to Fordham myself some years ago now, but it was a very rich time in my life. And there's just a couple of other pictures of her. As Beatrice passed into the eternal a couple of years ago now, and she experienced dementia as part of that letting go, letting go, letting go. And I find it really quite beautiful the way in which as her heart just became more and more and more full with this absolute love, with the absolute, that all of the other ways of knowing sort of started to dissolve till she's just totally filled with the absolute. So this whole thing about agape love and love's ecstasy, and you probably all know of her beautiful book, Love's Ecstasy. It came out in the 1990s, I think. And I remember when I was at university drawing on this, when I saw this beautiful book called God's Ecstasy, I thought, oh, wow. And, of course, I've been in it ever since. And just the depths of it just keep evolving. I find it a very, very insightful book. So this whole sense that this whole world is the ecstasy of God, the multiverse is the ecstasy of God, that God is an ecstatic God, that this love unmade shares love ecstatically, and that that very ecstatic love is within us and we can access it within us. And I think that's the important thing, that this is something we live within and that we gain access to in contemplation. We become more and more aware of it to the point where Beatrice invites us to be the expression of love's ecstasy, not to be observing as an observer, but to actually be within it, to be within this exquisite love, this outpouring of love. And so she draws on the metaphor of the dance and or the perichoresis, the Greek word for the dance of the Trinity, which is this exquisite interpenetration of relationships in this enfolding, unfolding, oneing, enclosing, beclosing dance of love. And so you can already get the sense of the energy in this, that there's this quite a beautiful flow of energetic loving in this. And this is what Beatrice is inviting us to touch into in our heart. Like, what does it feel like to be in the flow of this love energy? How do we know when we're absolutely grounded in that flow? And that if we go deeply, deeply, deeply into our heart, into our inner heart center, that we awaken within the consciousness of that flow. We awaken within Trinitarian consciousness, or what she calls perichoretic consciousness. And so this beautiful dance of ecstasy, ecstasy. I'm not sure if many of you are familiar with the term ecstasy, but it is actually a quite drawn on term within mystical literature, particularly say in early mystical literature. And the enstatic or the ecstasy, and stasis is to be still. So we're in stillness. We might say within the most exquisite withinness, that we're so within, we're so one, we're so single-hearted, so single-pointed, that we're in static, we're in the pointless point of pure oneness, in that exquisite stillness. And then she says, as this is what happens within the Trinity, is the Trinity, as the persons of the Trinity touch that in each other, so much so that they pour themselves totally into the other, and they are the other. At that moment, love pours out in ecstasy. And that's the movement, she says, that's going on within our heart. So we're in this exquisite ecstasy. So when we come into silence, into stillness, we enter into the ecstasy of love, into pure stillness. And we, in that point of pure stillness, our consciousness or our awareness passes into the divine consciousness. And as soon as we do that, that's that ecstasy that becomes the ecstatic movement. And that movement pours out in love to each other and to the whole universe. So it's this beautiful cyclical movement, this beautiful dance of this enfolding, unfolding, enclosing, beclosing, flow of love, pouring out love. Profoundly silent, still. And at the same time, full of the fertility of fecundity and newness. And of course, evolutionary consciousness. And so really what she is inviting us to do is to center in this ecstasy, ecstasy flow of love as deeply, as fully as we can. So that the love energy within us is, if you like, is doing the praying with the sighs too deep for words. It's the spirit praying within us, the flow of love in the Trinity that's praying within us. And we're, our awareness, our consciousness is just flowing with that. And so Beatrice says in her God's Ecstasy very simply, well, the basic idea is that the universe is God's ecstasy. And so what she would see is this whole creativity and beauty of this flow of agape love within the persons of the Trinity overflows in creation, expresses itself in the finite, that the infinite expresses itself in the finite, and then invites the finite to express the infinite within the finite, so that we continue to do this incarnating of the Trinity in the world. So the basic idea is that the universe is God's ecstasy. And she says, God's ecstasy creates the world, and the world's ecstasy realizes God. And you are right in the midst of it. So she wants us to really feel, taste, touch, become this ecstasy that we are right in the midst of. So this movement of the Trinity in the I loving, this Trinitarian love energy, which is pure being, absolute, the absolute is another word that she often uses. And that within the Trinity, as the persons share love with each other, there's this I loving, so that we give ourselves to it so completely that there's only one I. And then, as I've mentioned, this is a perichoresis, and in Latin theology, it's a circumcisium, a circling, dancing, trinitizing movement. And I quite love that way in which then we get into the flow of the Trinity, so the trinitizing of love. And so what she comes then to say to us is then that all of this Trinitarian love and movement is within us, within our transcendent personhood. And that what it means to be human is to have this transcendent personhood. And I'll say a little bit more about what I mean about that. So we discover this transcendent personhood when we come into our heart, into our heart center, into that into heart consciousness, or we're going to explore more in detail now into Christ consciousness within us. So Ilya is influenced by the philosopher Daniel Walsh, who has a whole lot of very interesting things about what it means to be a person. But she's saying to be a person is to be transcendent, it's to have a transcendent nature or a divine nature. It's to say that we possess the Christ within us, the Christic nature within us, and that this is an outpouring energy that indwells each of us. So we all have this, whether we're aware of it or not is another matter, but we all have this. And that what life has done is, you know, because of, perhaps the way where we are in an evolutionary movement at the moment, and also perhaps where we've been theologically, where we've been so fixed on the separation between humankind and God, or we've been so fixed on the disturbance in the human condition that we've forgotten that we're actually always in Christ, in the Trinity, always have been and always will be. So Beatrice is taking us back to that point where we are always infinitely in Christ. And she's calling this our transcendent personhood. So this is the outpouring energy that indwells in the Christ, in the Trinity, and indwells us. So that there's this energy exchange that we're many, infinitely many, and at the same time we're one. Absolutely one. So she says, human persons are transcendent, formless, unborn, immortal. Person describes who one is, whilst nature is specified and defined, describing what one does. Persons are an exchange of love energy. And I think that's really what I'd like to emphasize. Persons are an exchange of love energy. So that when we live from our personhood, when we find our personhood, we see each other as the Christ. We see each other as this exchange of love energy. And if we can connect to that level of the exchange of love energy, then all our relationships will be filled with agape. And so what happens there is then that we discover our natural face, what she calls our natural face, which I think is quite a beautiful way of talking about this. And tomorrow, Madeline's going to do something with you quite beautifully with the sense of the Immaculate Conception and a beautiful article that Beatrice wrote, and how that we discover that natural face that is actually our Immaculate Conception. We are an Immaculate Conception. We have always been in God, and we always will be. So she says this: the prayer or contemplation helps us to discover this natural phase. So she says, since the purpose of the spiritual life is that we enter into union with the divine source and creative act, or to realize our eternal union to it, we can understand then why the work of prayer could be said to be a matter of learning that our natural face is the transcendent self that exercises creative freedom by radiating love to all beings. So this is what we're discovering now, our natural face. It's our transcendent self that exercises creative freedom by radiating love to all beings. And as we go on, we'll explore some more what we mean by creative freedom. So in her beautiful article, Prayer and Identity, which is in Thomas Keating's book, Spirituality, Contemplation and Transformation, she talks about our natural face. And that's a very interesting article to read if you're interested. And she says, it is the progress toward the realization of this natural face in ourselves and the finding of it as transcendent and radiant and mutually indwelt by the indwelling transcendence and creative radiance that marks out the series of ever more radical transformations in our sense of identity that we must undergo in the life of prayer. So that's what she's inviting us to move into this beautiful place of indwelling, where we indwell this trinity of love, where we are an expression of this creative radiance. And that as we grow in our contemplatio, and as we fall in love more and more and more and more, we find this radical transformation. We realize, yes, our identity really is in the Christ, in our beloved, in the one who is. So she says, our whole sense of location of our selfhood has to be reordered. And so she says, this is why this consciousness is a revolution. So in this reordering of consciousness, we realize that we are this expression of love within the Trinity, and that all the other ways that we might have of defining who we are or describing who we are come out of another order of consciousness. And once we shift into this deeper consciousness, this one in consciousness, I like to call it, then all of the issues that we have with all the disturbance that we have at the moment within the human condition start to dissolve in the one in. And she had the beautiful piece that's quite central to all of this in terms of us really getting in touch with this inner heart womb self that we're talking about. And she draws on this beautiful piece from John's Gospel, chapter 1, where John writes, no one has ever seen God, the only begotten God, who is in the kolpon of the Father or the source of all being, that one exegetes. Now, sometimes you won't have heard that translation, kolpon, because sometimes that's translated who is in the bosom of the Father, or sometimes I've heard it heart of the Father, which is probably a better translation. But Beatrice reminds us that the actual Greek word kolpon is a wrap that is put around yourself to hold a little lamb or a child. So it's like a hollow. It's like this empty spaciousness. And so Beatrice is inviting us to be in the word that's spoken from this beautiful infinite kolpon, to be in that, the intimacy of that relationship, where from the infinite silence of the kolpon, from pure emptiness, love speaks, love self. So speaks the word into creation. And that we touch into that in our prayer, that we're part of that word being spoken, because we participate in the eternal word in eternity. So this beautiful sense of being in this infinite kolpon, in the absolute emptiness of pure, the pure expression of love, and that we can actually feel that, sense that, be in that within our own being. And And she says, 'twas in claiming our identity in the word nestled in the heart, kopon, of the absolute, and graciously enfleshed in holy sensuality, we trace our reality back to the sharing of love of I, and we realize that we are an I am. That's where we want to be in our prayer, in the I. This oneing is so interpenetrating, we see from, with, in, and as God. It's a very beautiful, very silent, very still, very humble place, and at the same time, beautifully creative, flowing, fertile, ecstatic. And we're part of this flow of love in the creativity of love. So she asks us then to come home to our own personhood, our own transcendent personhood. And there we discover, as we go into that beautiful still point, that we are what she calls a spondic center. We're a heart center. We're a spondic center. And this beautiful word spondic, again from the Greek, it reminds us that this point, when we touch into this point, that it is a pure pouring out of love. It's spondic. It's like an absolute overflow of love energy. And so this is one of my favorite little pieces that she composes, where she says, when we do center ourselves in the concrete existential experience, I am, we realize that it is intrinsically living and luminous. We no sooner touch the still point at the core of our being, this immutable at the center of mutability, than we discover that it is an explosion of energy. We find that the energy of existence that we are is necessarily a radiant energy. It streams out from us in every way. It seems to be the nature of that which is I am to say, let it be. And of course we have all of that beautiful language of the divine creating as recorded in the book of Genesis, you know, let it be, let there be light. And also the language that Beatrice uses is may you be. So when we touch this point, this radiant, pure point of radiance in ourselves, it pours out in creativity, may you be life, may you be full, may you be filled with peace. May you live in joy. And so this beautiful word spondic, from sponde, as I mentioned, stresses an outpouring. So there's this outpouring springing up from our heart. And the other word that's often used is a libation. So that out of this point of love within us is this heartfelt pouring out from the depths of Brahman, from the womb of all being. And it's a wail of mercy that has to enfold and bless and glorify. It's filled with the joy of divine radiance. And it's interesting too that the plural for spondic is spondi, which actually describes a peace treaty. Because libations were poured out in ritual at a peace treaty, expressing commitment to peace. And I thought that's a very beautiful, important part of this, I think. that as this love pours out, our commitment to world peace, our commitment to communion with the other, our commitment to love, to loving the world, loving creation, and so this sense of our identity of I is critical. And so that we say in creative freedom, may you be. May you be. The other lovely image that I find very helpful in this is this image of the mystical rose. And so what Beatrice talks about, and this will sort of lead us then into our next session on neo-feminine consciousness, is that the consciousness that starts to arise as we go deeper and deeper into our heart is a very intense reflexive consciousness. A reflexive consciousness means that we know that we know. So we're reflecting back within ourselves so that we know that we know. It's that consciousness that the eye of the heart knows that it knows. And what we want to be is so intensely within that beautiful knowing that it is the knowing between that we hear of the word in the koppon. In John's Gospel, he talks about the knowing between the Father and the Son. It's the knowing that we know from within the womb of the koppon. So she uses this example of the mystical rose, where each petal of the rose represents our consciousness. So at the tips of the petal, we're not sharing consciousness with anyone. It's our consciousness. It's our outer consciousness, if you like, our consciousness in the world. And we're not connected. We see ourselves as separate consciousnesses. Now, sadly, that's pretty well where a lot of people operate from. We're separate. We're not connected. But what she's saying is as the petals, we move into the center of the petal, as the roses join together, go a little deeper, we see that there's more overlap with other petals. And she says that would be like the consciousness of archetypes. It's the consciousness of the collective unconscious, for example, that Jung talks about, for example. But when we go to the absolute point of the center of the rose, at the core of our being, we're absolutely connected. We're fully reflexively conscious. We're in the oneing, if you like. We're one. And that's the point of consciousness that she's inviting us to awaken. If we awaken at those earlier, if we try to connect at these earlier levels of consciousness, particularly in the one that's separate, then often our boundaries can get violated. Because we're doing it from an outer self, looking for some sort of a connection from someone else. So there's all sorts of opportunities for sort of boundary violations. And at that other middle level, even more so, more subtle and perhaps a little bit more dangerous. Because again, if we're not centered in our heart, we're connected with people psychically. And we might find that we're having energy boundaries problems at a psychic level. But in the pure, pure love of the Trinity in this center of being, then it is the pure oneing. It's transcendent being. It's pristine, absolutely pure, clear. It's the virginal point. It's the point to verge that Thomas Merton talks about. And that's the point that of our natural face, and that's what Madeline will be talking to you tomorrow about, where we are an immaculate conception ourselves. And I think that's very exquisite. And if we could educate I just think in religious education, having been an infant's teacher, if little children knew that from when they were tiny, how wonderful would that be? And if they were taught how to actually access it when they were very little, how beautiful would that be? It would change everything. So, what Beatrice is inviting us to do is to noetically coincide. Now, Beatrice loves her language, as you can see. So this is another one, but actually quite beautiful. Because what she's saying is with this noetically coincidence, this noetic coincidence, noetic from nousis. The nous is the mind of the heart within the Greek Orthodox tradition, and the noetic is the wisdom of the mind of the heart. We might say heart, even heart awareness, heart understanding, and to coincide where. Coincide, we're inside this love exchange in the Trinity. We're inside the oneing. That's what we want to do and be, and that's what we come to in our contemplation. So we cease looking at ourselves as an object and coincide with ourself. Coinciding initiates a liminal metamorphosis. As the overlapping of our consciousness becomes more and more translucent, and we see from within the focal point of our heart self-being at the center of our soul. This is where we want to see from. This is the wisdom seeing that all the mystics talk about. Beatrice likens this to two spotlights overlapping and shining into a single point and becoming one light. And it's interesting, John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila have all got similar sorts of imagery to this. Or a solar eclipse, as all our ordinary ways of seeing are blotted out, until just as everything disappears, the crown of light of the coroner bursts forth with breathtaking beauty. So that's that beautiful sense of just oneing, really, being in oneness. And so she invites us to relate center to center, heart center to heart center. That's what we want to connect with. But of course, what she's saying is to be able to unite heart center to heart center, we actually need to be able to enter into our center, and we might even say, sadly, to know we have a center in God. To know we have a center in God. And that when we connect heart center to heart center, we're in this beautiful sense of creative union or oneing. And as we unite heart center to heart center in this love of the Trinity, we become more. And more and more, if we evolve. So connecting with our heart center is allowing that evolution of consciousness to take place that the child talks about, that we are evolution becoming conscious of itself. Because this is the evolutionary movement within us. That's how we access it. And if we can connect heart center to heart center in that beautiful, pristine, agape, the Trinity, then we're going to enable the evolution of consciousness, of communion consciousness. And that's what we're really seeking to do at the moment. If we can enable communion consciousness to be a general collective consciousness, then we're going to solve the problems of the world fairly quickly. Because we're in that beautiful creative freedom. But getting there is another issue, as we well know. So this heart center to heart center communion consciousness, and of course this is the point of CEN, isn't it, our contemplative evolution network, that we connect heart center to heart center every afternoon. And we move into this beautiful place of contemplatio, where It's the energy exchange of the Trinity that's doing the loving. And that we have that sense of spondic radiance, pouring out love to our world and quite deliberately pouring out love into places that are most scarred and most hurt and most wounded and vulnerable and suffering. And what a beautiful gift that is for the world, if that's our ministry. It's the most sacred and beautiful gift we can give the world, is our contemplation. And absolutely necessary at this time, absolutely critically necessary at this time. So Beatrice says, contemplation was initially a movement of consciousness from the world, as we then were thinking of it, to God, as we then were thinking of God. And in that mindset, God was sort of out there, really. And if we separate ourselves from the world and let go of the world, we'll find God. Whereas now she says to us, now manifestation is a movement of consciousness from God, with God, in God, as God, out into the world. A movement in which the divine consciousness and my consciousness flowing together stream out in love and in creative healing, beautifying energy to create the world and make it even better. That's our role. So to be with, so one with the divine consciousness that we are the ones now doing the incarnating. We are the world's ecstasy realizing God. We're an expression of this love in our world. And so this formation of a new sphere, the new sphere, that nous again from the nous heart mind sphere of the world, of the earth human collective consciousness, that we contribute to this consciousness, so that if our consciousness is filled with negative energy, we're going to make the newer sphere more negative. Whereas if our consciousness is a one in consciousness, then we are affecting the newer sphere. So the energy that we give from our own hearts, from our own being, from our own thoughts is critical to this formation of the newer sphere. And so what I love to call this is heart consciousness, that we're learning to access the wisdom of the heart, and that we really start to really gain access to the language of the heart, that we're very familiar with the what's often called the spiritual or the mystical senses of the heart, and that we know we can speak from within them, not as an observer, but actually from within that consciousness. So this shift from subject object to subject in subject is actually a very, very big shift, and very, very takes a lot of, in my experience, takes a lot of, many of us, for all the age we are, and this is a beautiful gift we give to the world, is we've had our purgative times. We know the deep vulnerability of loving, and we know the deep vulnerability of getting things wrong at times, where our consciousness was quite dualistic. But we just continue to fall in love, to fall in love, to fall in love. And we realize that in this heart consciousness, as we gather all, knit in one, all into this heart awareness, all is dissolved in love. And so the subject object we're really wanting to dissolve into, I, being in love, I, in the love of the Trinity. And so Beatrice says to us, can we be a Theotokos? Theotokos is a beautiful title given to Mary as the Mother of God. Can we be the Mother of God? Can we be God-bearer? Can we birth the divine in our lives? And so that's the invitation, so that we might live as a Theotokos. And so this beautiful dance of instancy, ecstasy, that's what we're invited to live in, this radiance. And it just always reminds me of these gorgeous whirling dervishes. They are so centered in their heart, in their center, so single-hearted, single-pointed, that this exquisite dance of love just illuminates, radiates. In this I loving, we, to the point where we just say there's only one I. And I love the way the Christ says to Julian of Norwich, it is I, it is I. I am the one who is all. It is I. And so we move into subject in subject awareness. And in subject awareness, we must say, because it just pours out to us in that beautiful, from the rahim of our being, may you be that beautiful flow of compassion, of mercy. May you be. And Beatrice likens this to Shiva Natara, who is the Hindu god, who is the cosmic dancer, who performs the divine dance to prepare for the renewal of the universe by the Brahman, who initiates the process of creation. And I thought, yes, isn't that something? That's what we're being invited to do, to dance this cosmic dance in our lives. And what's so beautiful is at the age we are, we're free enough to do it. We've had all this life experience, so we can really be the dance and enjoy the dancing. And we're preparing the world by our loving, by our prayer, by our years of contemplation, preparing the world, preparing the universe, preparing the multiverse for this beautiful renewal of consciousness. That love is already bringing in this into our evolutionary consciousness. And so Beatrice invites us into the involution that empowers evolution. If we can't be within our heart, we won't be contributing to evolution. The involution, the instancy and ecstasy go absolutely together. The involution and evolution go together. So we may live in the ground of the ecstasy of agape, of God creating the world and the world realizing God. And so we're really being invited to live in the midst of love's instancy, ecstasy. And so we might bless the world. Ripples of ecstasy flow and bless this day in tenderness as we birth Christ wherever we are. Joy becomes pregnant over and over and over again. We live in the radiance of your love, beloved. Amen. So may we be pregnant with joy and give birth to this joy that love brings. So we're going to have a little break now, but I thought it might be just helpful if when we come back, we're going to move into groups, if you If you just knew what we were going to perhaps do. So what I'm going to invite you to do in your groups is what I'm calling heart-to-heart sharing. So what's really important here is that we're sharing from the point within us where we are one with God, heart-centered to heart-centered. So we'll take a little, just a few minutes silence at the beginning. And whether you're in pairs or threes, just make sure to then each person has a chance to speak. Just for a few minutes. And then for about the last 10 minutes, we'll come back to the whole group to see if if there's something that would be helpful to share with the whole group. So after a few minutes in silence, please share with the partner the wisdom arising from your I being in love at the heart, at the center of your heart. So you might like to go and get a drink now and just have some quiet, be attentive to that heart center. I know all of you live in it already all day anyway. So I'm just really inviting you to be in that now consciously. And so to be sharing from that place. What's some of the language that your heart wants to share? What are some of the movements of the senses in your heart? What are some of those stirrings of love? The taste, the touch, the smell, the aroma of the presence of the beloved. And what's it like to be in this flow within the creativity, within the oneing, and to really claim this evolutionary movement that's awakening in us? So that sounds like fun, doesn't it? So I'll leave that on the screen just in case you're a little bit not sure what to do, but I know that you're all very, this is all very heart, all this heart, heart wisdom is exactly where you all live. So it's very beautiful.